King. He spilled his blood to fill my soul. His crown of thorns made me royalty. His sorrow gave me joy untold. His life for mine, his life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die? God's Son would die to save a wretch like me. What love divine, he gave his life for mine.
He was despised and rejected, stripped of his garment and oppressed. I am loved and accepted, and I wear a robe of righteousness.
His life for mine, his life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die? God's Son would die to save a wretch like me. What love divine, he gave his life for mine. What love divine, he gave his life for mine.
Or some of you would mind if I just left the mic off, right? Appreciate that, guys. And Brother Don, sorry to put you in a situation like that. I always like to see people in panic.
But praise God. You know, those little things are going to happen. And appreciate you guys singing and ministering and music. Boy, I tell you, it's nothing like having a song in your heart. You know, the Bible tells us, it's very simple, that one of the signs and one of the evidences of being filled with the Spirit is having a song in your heart. And so you say, well, what do I got to do to get a song in my heart? You might want to start cultivating your relationship with God, because that's how you get a song in your heart. When you cultivate the relationship, you spend time with God, and music is a wonderful thing. You know, I in our studies of our lessons and in the preaching on Sunday nights, been looking into all this and studying things, and boy, there's going to be an awful lot of singing going on in heaven. I think God loves music, but I think he loves the right kind of music, and I think he loves music that is God-honoring, not self-promoting, God-honoring. And so I enjoyed that, and thank you, fellas, for your hard work, and the ladies on the... I told Brother Shindick a while ago during the offertory, I heard Mrs. Reed playing, and I heard that jingle sound. So help me, I thought it was somebody's cell phone. I was looking around, and he looked at me, and I said, I thought that was somebody's cell phone going off, and it was the piano over there. You know, it was that ding, 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 and I looking around for a cell phone. But that was a good special. I enjoyed it. I hope you've enjoyed the day. God's been good. We've seen people saved and baptized once again throughout the day, and had a good day this afternoon throughout our ministries, both in our Spanish ministry and our bus ministry, and God's been good today. Hebrews chapter 2, if you would please. I'm going to try to finish up our studies on Sunday night about Lucifer, Satan, past, present, and future. Past, present, and future. I'm going to try to finish that up tonight and talk to you a little bit about what the devil's future is. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. Would you stand with me? We're going to read just one verse together. We're going to read it out loud together. Do a little responsive reading here. And I want you to notice particularly one word and one phrase right here at the end of this verse. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. And as we read, remember we'll be pausing at each punctuation mark together. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Let's read together. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Now I want you to notice in this verse something very important here, that Jesus promised that because of his coming and because of his death, burial, and resurrection, he would destroy him that had power, that had the power of death, and that is the devil. I want you to notice the word the Holy Ghost said, he would destroy. He would destroy. May I say to you tonight that God's got a focus. Not only is he focused on getting people saved, but he's also focused on future events. And one of those future events is the destruction of your adversary and my adversary, the devil. Never again to bother mankind. Never again to tempt anyone. Never again to provoke or use a snare or some type of scheme that he uses against mankind. Never to hurt God again. And I want to talk to you and finish up tonight about Lucifer, Satan, the future. Father, we're thankful for the privilege to be able to open the Word of God up. Stir our heart tonight. As we leave this place, may our hearts be encouraged from the Word of God. And Lord, we ask now that you'd feel your presence in this room tonight, that you'd move in hearts, convict us, Lord, in areas that we need to be convicted in. And then, Lord, let this be a rejoicing time as we celebrate the destruction, as we celebrate the eternal departure of our adversary, the one who has persecuted us ever since we've been alive. And yet, Lord, there will come a day where that will all come to an end. And we want to praise you in Jesus' name for it. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Now, let's just review just for just a moment. We've talked about Lucifer past and how that Lucifer was a created being. He was a created angel. He was that probably in heaven, as far as we can tell from Scripture, he was probably the number one created angel in heaven. And God gave him certain responsibilities, and as he gave him certain responsibilities, one of those responsibilities that he gave him seemed to be the responsibility of worship. Now, we use praise and worship, and a lot of times that's used out of context in our day in contemporary circles, but he was the administrator and the conductor of praise and worship in heaven. And one of those things that he would praise and worship God with was music. God said that built in him were beautiful tablets and beautiful sounds, and I believe that as Lucifer would open his mouth and praise God in music, that he could literally sing in harmony as he sang before God. He was given incredible abilities. But one day pride entered into Satan, Lucifer, and he was cast out of heaven because of that pride. Well, he was cast to this earth, and as we know, he was here prior to Adam and Eve arriving. And so we talked about his past, about how he fell from heaven, and then we talked about his present and what he does to mankind and how his number one desire tonight is to destroy you. His number one desire tonight is to hinder the progress of the gospel. And one of the ways that he's trying to hinder the progress of the gospel is to tie you up with all these little minuscule things in life and get us out of focus on what the main thing is. And folks, let me tell you something. In the Church of the Living God, we got to keep the main thing the main thing and not be distracted over little issues that may come our way. And yet he's good at distracting. May I say to you, we learned that the Bible says that he uses devices and wiles and snares, and he deceives, provokes, tempts, sifts, buffets, hinders the people of God. He's our adversary, and we know that he cannot gain possession of a believer. So since he cannot gain possession, he'll settle for position. And he will position himself through a soul tie or stronghold in your life. And folks, may I say to you tonight that some of us here have a stronghold in our life that he set up and don't even know it's there. We think it's just a natural thing in life to do. And yet it's a stronghold. And you say, what's a stronghold, preacher? Anything that's going to stop you from serving God in your life. Whatever it may be that's hindering you from serving the Lord in your life. Maybe there's things that's happened in your past, and maybe things that have come your way and that has really caused you to kind of get derailed. I'm here to tell you that Satan's ultimate goal tonight in the present day is to destroy and devour believers by gaining positions in our lives through things like bitterness or unforgiveness or gossip or jealousy or lust or vices or whatever it may be. He's trying to get position in your life. And by gaining position, guess what he gets? Control. And by gaining control, he can hinder the progress of the gospel. Folks, I'm here to tell you, he wants to hurt God. And the greatest way to hurt God is to hurt you and I, the creation of God. But now we come to the point in our study that we can look forward to Satan's future. You see, Satan knew that when he was overpowered by God and cast out of heaven, that his final end would eventually come someday. Listen, for all of these thousands of years, folks, at the time he thought that he could overthrow God, or at least he could rise to the position to take over rulership of heaven. And I'm here to tell you tonight, he thought that in the beginning, but evidence shows now he could not and cannot and will not. So he knows that his demise is inevitable. He realizes that all of these things will come to an end someday. But until that day, he's working in the hearts and lives of believers to position himself in their lives to control them. Hey, listen, to an unsaved person, they're already of their father, the devil. He's already made position in their life. He's already put a bag over their head to keep them from seeing and witnessing and hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ for them to be saved. You see, he's at work today, and he's trying to keep people from coming to Christ. But I'm here to tell you, my dear friend, the future holds some positive things when it comes to the end result of the future of your adversary, the devil. And I want to share those with you tonight as we kind of wrap all this up. What's going to happen to Lucifer? What's going to happen to the devil when it all is said and done? Well, can I tell you that God had already foretold his demise right off the bat? Turn with me, if you would, Genesis chapter 3. Turn with me. We're just going to go right back to the beginning here and follow it right through Scripture here. Obviously, we're not going to be able to read every portion of Scripture, but we can read those that are prominent here to the message tonight. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Now, if you know anything about the Scriptures, you know Genesis 3, or chapter 3, talks about the fall of man. Satan now has deceived Eve. She then has now given that forbidden fruit to Adam. They both have partaken. Their eyes were open. They realized they were naked, and they realized now they had sinned against God. Fellowship now was lost with God Almighty. Genesis 3 and verse number 15 tells us a little bit about Satan's future right off the bat. The Bible says, God speaking says, "And I will put enmity between thee," that's Lucifer, "and the woman, and between thy seed," that's Lucifer, "and her seed," that is Christ. Now look now, "it," that's her seed, "shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Now I want you to notice here that he used a term that's very important here, because he said, "It, the Lord, her seed, shall bruise thy head." You ever had somebody slap you upside your head? Hey, you ever been hit in the head and got a concussion? Have you ever been to a place to where, boy, you just had just a real knock on the head. This is more than a concussion. This is more than just somebody slapping upside the head. This situation here is a fatal blow that will come one day that will be given by God Almighty to Lucifer himself, and he will be cast away from mankind forever and ever and ever. Now, folks, listen to me. Genesis 3:15 is your Bible. Did you know the devil was there the day that God said that? All of this time, for thousands of years, do you understand he already knew that his end would come one day? He already knew that there was no way that he would ever overthrow God. He already knew that there was no way in history that he could ever ascend above the Most High like he desired. And God proved it by casting him out and then telling him, you know what, there's coming a day where it, the seed of woman, shall bruise your head. There will be a fatal blow coming to you one day that will put you, my friend, out of commission forever and ever and ever. You see, Lucifer's demise is already foretold in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15. But I want you to jump up to verse number 14. Look what God said. The Bible says, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent," the devil, "because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle." Circle the word cursed. That means he's doomed. He's cursed. He's doomed. His time is limited, and it will come to an end someday. He said he's cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. "Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thou shalt, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." So not only is he cursed, not only will he be brought low. While I'm speaking, turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 14. We read this passage of Scripture when we talked about Lucifer past. And I want to show you something here just to confirm, as God is consistent, the Holy Ghost is proper as he makes his way through the Bible. But here, Lucifer is cursed forever. His demise has already been spoken of. The Scripture said he's going to be brought down and that he would ultimately and completely be defeated one day by God Almighty. And it'd be all over. Now, folks, here's the thing we got to understand. Lucifer already knew all of this. He already knew that one day his end would come. He already knew it. Now, look, if you would, Isaiah chapter 14, verse 15. Speaking here of Lucifer, you can go back and see the previous verses to this, beginning in verse number 12. But in verse 15, he says, "Yet thou shalt be brought," does your King James Bible say where? "Down to hell, to the sides of the pit." Now, folks, listen to me. He already knew this too. He not only already knew his demise, he knew where his demise would be. So see, he already understands that one day, at some point, all of his shenanigans are going to come to an end. All of his trickery, all of his deception, all of his provoking, all of his hindering is going to come to an end. And he realizes he will be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. So he already knows that his demise is inevitable. But may I say to you tonight, turn with me if you would to Ezekiel chapter 28 while you're turning there. Satan's eternal doom is imminent. And God, listen to me now, God's going to do all the dirty work. He's going to do all the dirty work for us and make sure that he never bothers us again. You know, many times on a job, there are certain jobs that people don't like to do. It's called the dirty work. May I say to you that God's going to do all the dirty work for us? God's going to take care of Lucifer. God's going to take care of him, that he will never hinder man again. Look, if you would, Ezekiel 28, if you would. I want you to circle some words that are descriptive words that are going to tell us exactly how God is going to handle him in the future. Ezekiel 28, verse 16. Are you there? Ezekiel 28, verse 16. The Scripture says, "By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God." Speaking of Lucifer. Now listen to this. "And I will." He didn't say I might. He didn't say, I'll think about it. He said, I will destroy thee. Circle the word destroy. He said, there will come a day, I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. He says, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Look at verse 18. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. Listen to this now. And it shall devour thee. Now, he's used two descriptive words. He says, I will destroy thee. And he said, I will devour thee. Stop. Didn't we read that somewhere, like maybe 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, that the Bible describes Satan as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour? You see, that law of sowing and reaping goes around also. You see, the thing about it, he's been sowing destruction. He's been sowing devouring the people of God. You know what's going to happen to him one day? He will be destroyed and devoured as well. So it says, it shall devour thee. I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror. Listen now. And never shalt thou be any more. Never shalt thou be any more. So what I'm saying to you tonight, first of all, church, is that Lucifer, his demise has already been foretold. He already knows what his end shall be. The thing about it is, when are we going to come to grips with it? When are we going to come to grips and think, you know what? This is just temporal. Hey, what he's doing today is just a temporary thing. There's going to come a day where I'm going to get to have a little fun. There's going to come a day where he's the one that's going down instead of me. You see, God said that there will come a day where he'll not bother us. He says, never shalt thou be any more. So not only is Lucifer's demise foretold, may I have you go now to the New Testament, to Matthew chapter 25. I want to show you something here. You've read it many, many times. Maybe you've never thought about it, but I'm just going to mention it to you tonight. Because the second thing I want you to notice here in Scripture, not only is Satan's demise foretold, the Scripture says there's a place that God has prepared for him. I want you to notice in Matthew 25, Jesus speaking of the end times here. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. The Bible says, Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Stop. If he stopped right there, we'd say, okay, well, he's talking about the lost people and he's going to cast them into fire. But wait a minute. The Holy Ghost doesn't stop there. He specifically describes this place was not prepared for lost souls. It was prepared, notice what he said, prepared for the devil and his angels. Can I say to you tonight, you know what God's original plan was? That nobody be lost. The original plan was create a perfect man, a perfect woman, and they produce, and you know what? And we have perfection all the way through. That was the plan. But it got messed up pretty early. Got messed up. You say, how early did it get messed up? Two people in. Two people into the whole thing, it got messed up. But can I say to you, God's original plan was fellowship. His original plan was to fellowship with mankind in a perfect situation, a perfect environment forever, and it got messed up. But listen to me, keep in mind, Satan had already been cast out before he ever created the first man and woman, and he prepared a place for him, for the devil, and who? His angels. That place is called hell. That's where he prepared. You see, the devil already knew. He already knew, according to Isaiah chapter 14, that would be his demise. That's where he's going. He understands that. You see, it's a place of torment, and it's prepared for Lucifer and all of his fallen angels. And there he will suffer in the flames eternally. There he shall suffer eternally. Now, may I say to you tonight that the terrifying truth of this is that every lost person now of all the ages will be cast into that terrible place with Him one day. And they will spend all eternity with all of the wickedness of all the ages, and on top of that, and on top of all the torment, they get to spend it forever with Lucifer. Forever. And ever. And ever. Listen, they thought the torment of Lucifer was tough in the present day. They thought, listen, that what they went through today was tough. Wait till an eternity that they get to spend with Him forever and ever and ever. See, the thing about it is, folks, the devil is so good at camouflaging. Most of the world today thinks this is a fairy tale. Most of the world don't even believe in hell anymore. They think it's a fairy tale somewhere, and they're saying, oh, all you Christians, you're just trying to scare people. Ain't real. Well, wonder if that old rich man in hell that's been there for a few thousand years, wonder if he still thinks it's real. What if he still thinks it's forever? You see what I'm saying to you tonight, that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, and all those people of all the ages will go to that terrible place with Him. May I say to you tonight, church, that it's not about winning anymore with Him. It's not about winning anymore. Listen to me. He already knows he can't win. Right? You ever watch a sporting event when a team is getting their head beat in? You ever notice what the team that's getting their head beat in starts doing? They start taking personal foul penalties. They start taking guys going up for layup and undercut them and flip them. You know why? Because they're being embarrassed, right? And you notice that the team that's getting their head bashed in usually starts getting really rough. Can I say to you, it's not about winning with Satan anymore, because he can't win. You say, what's it about, preacher? May I say to you, it's all about hurting God now. It's all about hurting you now. That's what it's all about. It's not about winning. He can't win. He already knows that. You see, Lucifer knows this, but it does not deter him from his heart of hatred and evil against you and I and against God. You see, his philosophy is that if he's going down, he's going to take as many people down with him as he possibly can. He's going to take as many down with him as he possibly can. You see, it's not about winning anymore, it's about hurting. It's not about winning the overall battle anymore, it's about hurting the people of God. Why? He already knows, folks, what his demise is. He already knows it's coming to an end. So you know what? You say, preacher, are we getting close to the end? Yeah, and you know what the devil's doing? He's in the two-minute drill right now. And he's attacking. Listen. He's in the two-minute drill in your life, in my life, and in every church on planet Earth. Why? His time is short. You say, oh, the world is so bad. Yeah, two-minute warning's passed. We're into the last 2 minutes now. It's not about winning anymore with him. It's about hurting the people of God. It's about hurting God as much as he can. You see, his demise is already foretold. Hell is obviously the place that God prepared for the devil and his angels. Well, let me talk to you for just a moment about Lucifer's future scheme. Now, think about this, church. Satan has thoroughly enjoyed destroying lives and condemning souls to eternal damnation in the present. But, listen to me, his most diabolical plan in history has yet to be unfolded. You hear me? His most diabolical plan has yet to be unfolded, because there's but a short time that he will have. Again, remember, you've got to keep in mind, it's not about winning anymore, it's about hurting. So here we are in these last days, and you know what he's focused on? He's focused on the people of God. Not just us Gentiles, he's focused on the Jews. And his focus is now beginning, as we get closer, he's focusing more and more and more on the designated people of God. You see, Lucifer's scheme will be set in place. His desire is And his plan is to destroy the people of God. And let me say to you, church, that the rapture of all the believers is the catalyst that's going to set this scheme in motion. When the rapture takes place, that diabolical plan will then begin to move into motion. You say, what's that plan, preacher? Well, first of all, as soon as the rapture takes place, would you take your Bible and go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 for just a moment? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. Now, folks, that's a totally different message, okay? But can I say to you today, you know what's happening? There's a falling away happening today. And you know where it's going to continue? It's going to continue to fall into the tribulation. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Because I know that people will be sent strong delusion to where they'll believe a lie. Yeah. I'm talking about people that has been lost for years in attended church. I may be talking about some people that even walked around and attended church, a church, their name was on a church roll, and actually carried a King James Bible around. They're going to believe a strong delusion. And so here there's going to be a falling away first, but I want you to notice what he says here. He says that they're falling away first, and that man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. The Antichrist pops his little head up in that day. And may I say to you, church, if you know your Bible well enough, and I think you do, he's first going to appear as a man of peace. And you can find that. You can go read it in the book of the Revelation. You'll find it there. He'll first appear as a man of peace. He'll present himself as the Savior, and he'll present himself as the one who has all the answers. And by the way, and the world will embrace him also. They're going to embrace him and say, yes, yes, we found the Messiah. We found the one with all the answers. And the Jews are going to flock back to Jerusalem. By the way, they're already flocking back there. And they're going to flock and rally around him. And they're going to do, and listen, people from all over the world are going to rally around him. Why? Because he comes as a man of peace. He comes as a Savior. He portrays himself that he has all the answers to man's problems. But he will, those special powers and miracles that he'll do, those are powered by none other than Satan himself. But the world won't see that. He will have his Antichrist here. And that Antichrist, then later on, you find in Revelation chapter 16, is joined by a false prophet. Then he'll be joined there. They will gather an army against God. And may I say to you that at that time, the world goes into absolute chaos. Chaos will take place about midway through that tribulation. And there, Satan will go in and desecrate the temple. By the way, at that time, the Jews are going to realize, no, wait a minute. We got a problem here. If this guy's the Messiah would not do this. So that means if he's not the Messiah, uh-oh. You know, great, 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 great Papal Rabbi told us about a man named Jesus that came claiming to be the Savior of the people of God. But he came into his own, and his own received him not. He came to the Jew, but the Jew received him not. And there, that Antichrist, with the power of Satan behind him, will desecrate the temple of God, and multiple tortures will go out. Plagues will go out. He will murder millions of Jews who resist his abomination of the temple. He will murder millions and millions. I believe in that day, the Antichrist and the murder of millions of Jews, it's going to make the Holocaust look like some type of birthday party. Because he's going to kill them by the millions. He'll turn against them. He convinces a world army to fight against God. Take your Bible, go to Revelation 16 if you would. Go to Revelation chapter 16. You say, preacher, the devil's mean. Hey, he's more than mean. He's a murderer. And you know what? If God allowed him, he'd kill you before you got home tonight. He's not your friend. Hey, he's not your buddy. He's your adversary. He's an accuser. He's a destroyer, a devourer. Revelation 16 and verse 16. The Bible says, and he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Now, several of us have, over the course of time, we may have seen a movie about Armageddon, but they're never going to be able to portray the truth in a movie. Because the Bible says after God gets finished with them, blood will be bridle deep to the horse. I've never seen anybody portray that. And yet, there'll be a great supper that day, the supper of the great God. And all the fowls of the world will be called in to that great feast. They'll feast on the flesh of kings. They'll feed on the flesh of horses. And they'll feed there in that valley. Listen, folks, it's going to take a long time to eat up that flesh. But try to call every buzzard on planet Earth. You ever seen a buzzard take apart a piece of meat? It don't take them long. And yet, here it is. He'll murder millions of Jews. And there, he calls a great army to come together to fight against God. Many, we believe in the Scripture, that army is going to be somewhere possibly in the number of about 200 million people. That he'll gather into that great valley one day to fight against God. So wait, preacher, time out, rewind. I thought you said he already knew what was going to happen to him. Yes, he does. But keep in mind, it's not about winning anymore. It's about hurting. He already knows he can't win. So you know what he's going to do? He's going to do like these guys you see that are getting their head beat in a football game. They're going to commit a few personal fouls to let this team know, we don't appreciate you beating our head in. Right? That's what they do. The team getting smashed decides, you know what, guys? I think we're going to hurt a few of these old boys. Make sure they don't do this to nobody else. Now, folks, listen. If you've never gone, if you don't know what I'm talking about, just watch sometimes, and you'll notice what I'm saying. What I'm saying to you here, it's not about winning with him anymore. It's about hurting the people of God. And so, listen, you say, preacher, does he really think he can win this battle? No. No, he knows he can't win this battle. You say, well, why is he bringing 200 million people so he can take 200 million to hell? That's why. To destroy them. Why? Because it's not about winning anymore. It's about hurting. It's about damning souls to hell now. That's what it's all about. See, we just have to remember that Lucifer already knows he's doomed. He's defeated. So his goal now is to take as many people to hell with him. You know, if that army is 200 million, that's not a bad cash in, 200 million souls at one time. Can you imagine the billions of souls that are in hell today because of this guy? He hates God, folks. He hates you. And so here he is in Armageddon, and God comes and speaks and destroys that army. You say, oh, I can't wait. I'm going to give him a gut shot. I'm going to get him in a headlock, give him one of them. Ooh. Well, I'd love to do that too. But when I read my Bible, Jesus does everything. I told you, he's going to do all the dirty work. He does all the dirty work. So where we come back on white horses, you say, what are we on white horses for? I don't know. But we're coming back. Oh, we're an army. We're coming back. We're mad. It ain't going to be much of a fight. Because Jesus is going to do all the dirty work for us. He's going to do everything. He's even going to provide the supper at the great supper of our God. Now, when Jesus comes back and sets his foot on this earth, he'll land, the Bible says, very plainly, on the Mount of Olives. By the way, is that not what the angels told the disciples? Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? For this same Jesus that you've seen taken from you into heaven, so shall in like manner. He's coming back in like manner. And guess he left from the Mount of Olives? Guess where he's coming back to? Coming back to the Mount of Olives. And he's going to set his foot on that mountain, and it's going to break from north to south and open up, and there, straight ahead, is the Eastern Gate. So he ain't getting through there, preacher. I seen it. It's blocked up. Huh? What are you talking about? We're talking about God, friend. You think a few blocks set there by the Ottoman Empire is going to stop the King of Glory from going through that Eastern Gate and taking his rightful seat on the throne of David? If somebody thinks that, they're crazy. They're going to stop him. So how do you know, preacher? Well, just shortly after his resurrection, he appeared to the disciples and the doors were closed. Didn't stop him then. What do you think is going to stop him now? He created them bricks. He created the dirt that they made to mix it up to create them bricks. They're going to stop him. Jesus is going to come and set up his millennial kingdom. He said, what about that stinking devil? It's going to happen to him. Well, glad you asked. Revelation 20. When he comes back, Jesus sets up his kingdom for 1,000 years. By the way, we're going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. You know, there's never been a kingdom on earth to ever rule 1,000 years. But yet Jesus will. For 1,000 years, he'll set up his millennial kingdom on this earth. Revelation 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Stop. A chain? Yeah, a chain. So what's he going to do with that chain, preacher? It ain't like a chain you go buy at Home Depot, though. You see, that chain he's got in his hand right there is a chain given to him by God Almighty. And this chain is going to hold somebody that a regular chain is not going to hold. And so an angel comes and he has the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon. And that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon it. He should not deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. So what's going to happen during that 1,000 years? Well, just before all Jesus finishes up getting everything set for that millennial kingdom, one little small thing has to be done. We got to get rid of the accuser. We got to get rid of the destroyer, the devourer. So the angel takes him, bounds him in a chain, opens a bottomless pit, and kicks him off in there. Say, is that the way it's going to happen? That's kind of how I see it happening. I don't think he's going to say, would you mind? God sent me here, and I opened this bottle. Would you mind go ahead and stepping down, please, Lucifer? Would you? By the way, you scumbag, I remember you. You tried to get me to go against God, didn't you? Get in here! Down he goes, and it's shut, locked for 1,000 years. Now, folks, I don't know if that does anything for you. That's just the beginning of the end. 1,000 years, that's nothing compared to eternity. But for 1,000 years, he'll not be able to hinder the people of God. And Jesus shall rule and reign for 1,000 years. But after that 1,000-year reign, did you notice what the Scripture said? And after that, listen now, he must be loosed a little season. You say, wait a minute, preacher, he must be loosed? Yeah. Say, what's he going to do? He's going to clean up the remnant of unbelievers one more time. Because during that 1,000-year reign, there's some that ain't going to trust the Lord. You say, I can't. What? What do you mean they're not going to trust God? Yeah, there'll be people born during that time. They ain't going to trust the Lord. So you know what God's going to do? All right, come on out. Open the bottomless pit up. Angel goes, open the bottomless pit. Hey, out. Out he comes. You know what he's going to do? He's going to clean up the remnant of unbelievers one more time. So what's he going to do this time? He's going to try to fight God again. He's going to try to get him another army together and fight God again. Can I say something to you? There was a kid years ago when I was in elementary school. His name was Billy Red. I was in the, I guess, probably sixth grade at that time, and Billy Red was a big old kid, and he was one of those kids that just liked to pick on you. And I was at a ball game one day, and we were inside the ballpark, and Billy Red and his little cronies were outside the ballpark. And so me and my friend decided we'd just heckle Billy Red. Now, he's about sixth grade. You know, I probably weighed 80 pounds in the sixth grade. And Billy Red probably weighed 125, 130 pounds. He's a big old kid. And so there's a chain link fence between me and him. I thought, he can't do nothing to me. I'm on this side. He's on that side. And so, man, we let him have it. Come on. Come on. And you know something? You know, when you're in the sixth grade, you ain't real sharp. Because, Brother Hinton, there's a gate. Because they ain't charging nobody to get in this game. So, you know, we're mocking and heckling him, and finally we just go off, and of course we went back to playing paper baseball. And then see, back in that day, you took the paper cups, Coke cups, you wadded them up, and your bat was your hand. That's your throw, and we'd hit. Boy, we got back in the game there, and the next thing I know, I'm pitching, and I throw it, and my friend doesn't swing. He's just standing there, and about that time I felt, so help me, I turned around, and all I saw was knuckles coming, and that guy hit me right in the eye, man. And everything, have you ever been hit in the face and hit in the eye like that? And next thing you know, that, wow, man, this is great. I'm in outer space, meteor shower, all this kind of stuff. And you're like, you know what I'm talking about? I mean, he cold caught me right in the eye. So after I went down and I went off, I just ran, man. I went, ran, crying. He chased my friend and got him, hit him in the mouth. So we got back together after that. And thought, what are we doing? You see, one of these days, folks, it's going to all come to an end. But for that, after that 1,000 years, Satan's going to have to come back and clean up all the remnant of unbelievers. You see, Satan deceives one more time and gets together one more time an army to fight God. We call that in spiritual realms the battle of Gog and Magog. There he will gather another multi-million army, man army, to come and fight against God. You say, he's crazy, preacher. He thinks he can win again. Listen to me. It's not about winning. It's not about winning anymore. It's about condemning. It's about hurting. You say, well, what's the results of this battle? Well, look at Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 7. And when the 1,000 years was expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Say, how many is that? You ever been to the beach before? Lots. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven. And, does your King James Bible say, devoured them? Didn't we just read this somewhere that God promised, I will devour thee, and he would devour them by fire? God kept his word, didn't he? Now, listen, here's the last thing. Lucifer's final place of torment. I want you to look at verse number 10. After he devours that army, and it's all over, all through, all done. Verse number 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. Glory to God. And brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented. I said, and shall be tormented, and he shall be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever. And I think I'm going to throw a Dr. Smith in there, forever. You know what? That's a long time. But I don't know about you. Does that stir you up? That stirs me up. See, what does it stir you up to want to do, preacher? I don't know if God's going to let me be there, but I hope that God, just about time he gets ready to cast Lucifer into the lake of fire, that he'll take all believers and just have him just take a look down in that bottomless pit and just have him like my daddy would do before he gave me a whip and touch your ankles. And just take a big old number 10 and a half shoe and just boot him right in the tail. You say, preacher, no. We need to be Christian about this. Hey, folks, let me tell you something. There ain't going to be nothing Christian about that in that day. God's not going to have any sympathy. I'm not going to have any sympathy. And you ain't going to have any sympathy on him whatsoever, because you know what? He's the one that is deceived. He is the one that is accused. He is the one that has hurt you and devoured you and destroyed you. There's going to be any sympathy for him on that day. He's going to be tormented. Hey, he's going to pay for disrupting heaven. He's going to pay for disrupting God's plan for man. He's going to pay for defying God in battle. He's going to pay for devouring billions of lost souls who are condemned forever. You see, Lucifer's end will be final. There'll come a day, people of God, when the accuser, the deceiver, the liar, the destroyer, the murderer, the hater of God will be taken away from us to hurt us no more. No more. Glory to God. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Now, folks, I don't know if this study on Sunday nights has stirred you, but it stirred me. And I was anticipating, I couldn't wait to get to this lesson because I know what his eternal destination will be. But maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Christ. Say, preacher, I cannot say that I honestly had a born-again experience in Jesus Christ. I can't remember a time I've ever been saved. I can't remember a time anybody's ever opened the Bible and showed me how to be saved. If you're like that tonight and you'd allow me to pray for you, how many of you would say tonight, preacher, would you pray for me? I cannot honestly say that heaven is my home. I need to be saved. I don't want to go to that place. I don't want to end up in hell. I don't want to end up in the lake of fire with Lucifer and all of those angels and devils. I don't want to end up there. The only way to get out is to trust Christ. How many of you here tonight would say, preacher, that's me. I cannot honestly say that I've been born into the family of God. Would you pray for me? Slip your hand up. Anybody like that? Just slip it up, slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. Say, preacher, that's me. I cannot honestly say that heaven is my home. Anybody? Anybody? All right, maybe you're here tonight and you've already been saved, but you've never been baptized. Say, preacher, I know I'm saved, no question about it, but never been baptized after I've been saved. I know it's the right thing to do. Would you pray for me? I need to take care of that. I need to get that done. Would you slip your hand up and I'll pray for you? Who's that? Who is it? Slip your hand up, slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. Anybody like that? Say, preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized. Anybody? Anybody? All right, maybe you're here tonight. And you say, preacher, over these last few weeks, our study on Lucifer, the past, the present and the future has helped me. It's helped me to understand a little bit more about him and just how much he hates the people of God. Just how much he hates God and just how much he wants to destroy me. How many of you tonight with heads bowed and eyes closed say, preacher, I've learned some things and the messages over those nights have helped me in my walk with God and in my service for God to understand a little bit more about our adversary and how much he desires to hurt me. How many of you say, preacher, I've learned some things over the last few Sunday nights. Slip your hand up. Slip it up, slip it up. God bless you all over. God bless you. God bless you. Now, Father, use what has been preached tonight to encourage our hearts. And Lord, as we look to the day of the coming of Christ, as we look to the day of the demise of Satan, the deceiver, the accuser of the brethren, when we look toward that day shall come and he'll be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. Oh, glorious day that will be. Lord, glorious day that will be when we'll not have to put up with him anymore. We'll not have to be deceived or pulled aside and tricked into doing something or have some false idea put in our head. And all of that will be put away. And we want to praise you for it. And Lord, if you might give us an opportunity at some point before you cast Lucifer, before you cast the devil, before you cast that deceiver and murderer and liar into the bottomless pit, that you'd give us an opportunity at some point, Lord, to have a word, to say something, to do something. Now, in our hearts tonight, Lord, I know, we know, he hates us. And yet, Lord, we can hate him with righteous indignation for what he's doing to people. Lord, he's taken literally billions of your people. People that you loved, the Jewish people, he's taken literally billions of them to hell, deceived them, those that have rejected Jesus Christ. I know you're not happy. That day will come, and we're looking forward to that day of his demise. Bless